If you were to think of a natural wonder, a picture of something that in your opinion is just absolutely spectacular, what would you think of? Magnificent mountains such as this picture of Mount Shasta? Would you think of a beautiful beach? Would you not love to be at that beach right now? Just walking along there? That just looks so inviting and relaxing and peaceful to me. Maybe some fine flowers, just to look at them and look at fields of them and so on. Or maybe some awesome animal that we don't get to see very much. And how about the spectacular sagebrush? And someone says, say what? What is Don Rule talking about? The spectacular sagebrush? Yes. For one thing, God created the sagebrush. That right there, to me, makes it spectacular. That right there, to me, means this is something I need to look at and learn from it, or somehow gain from it. In Genesis 1, verses 11 and 12, the Bible definitely affirms that God made the sagebrush. Moses wrote, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." So yes, God created it. And from my understanding of both the scriptures and my own observations of nature, God had reasons for everything that he did. Some of those reasons he has revealed to us. Some he has not. But can I go to the sagebrush and learn something? Is there something from this spectacular sagebrush that I need to learn? Is it possible that once I learn something about the sagebrush, that I'll learn something about myself? For I, too, am a creation of God. You probably know that in the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit frequently used images and other things from creation to teach us wonderful truths. Truths that enhance our lives. For example, in Proverbs 6 and verse 6, we're told to be entomologists. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Well, in that same way, I would like to say that we can be botanists. Go to the sagebrush, you fool. Consider its endurance and be wise. Oh, can this plant ever endure? So I'd like to give you tonight some sage advice, but not from me, but rather from this plant that God has created on the earth, especially here in Western North America, in particular the United States. In America, the United States, there are 470,000 square miles of this shrub, including up in Canada. And amazingly, you'll notice from this map, a little bit in Massachusetts, which does not fit my image of an East Coast, especially Northern East Coast state. But there is one county where the sagebrush grows. But Wyoming has the most. 50% of the state has sagebrush in it. Virtually every county except for one. What's interesting about the sagebrush is the conditions under which it will grow. It typically grows between 4,000 and 7,000 feet in elevation. It also grows in what again would be typically arid conditions and where the soil is good. In fact, in my studies this past week, I learned that the early pioneers, as they were moving west, often used the sagebrush as a gauge to whether they should live there, whether the land was farmable or not, because it indicated whether the soil was good. And of course, the bigger the plants, they concluded the better the soil. So it really indicated a lot to them about where things should be settled. So knowing how vast it is in our nation alone, it must be that God likes it. We saw back in Genesis chapter 1, 11 and 12, that when God made everything on the earth, He saw that it was good. God, our Father, looked at the sagebrush and said, I like that. I want that on the earth. So perhaps we can learn to like what God likes and learn from what God likes. I truly believe that if you learn to like what God likes, your life will improve immeasurably. I did that with a cappella music. I was not brought up into the church. So when I first came to worship with the church, you know, I heard just the singing only and didn't hear the instruments. And I love all kinds of instruments. But after a while, I've grown to love a cappella. I still like instruments, but a cappella, that's God's way. And so I listen to it and I think, wow, I can really get into this. What about the sagebrush? Well, I've grown up in the West, probably like most of you have, and I've traveled in it a lot, and I've just learned, can I see anything good out here? It doesn't always have to be a spectacular forest for me to see beauty, but I think we can see beauty in this thing that God has created. For one thing, it's adaptability. It is versatile, and it is flexible. The conditions under which this plant grows are amazing, and we can certainly learn from its adaptability. It can grow in blistering heat, freezing cold, endless drought, and overwhelming floods. Sometimes flash floods just go right through the area. It can live in all kinds of conditions. If there's little water and poor soil, well, then the plant will grow smaller. It accommodates itself to its environment. On the other hand, if it has enough water and good soil, it'll grow sometimes, you know, 7 feet high. Some sources even say as high as 12 feet to where it doesn't look like a bush anymore, but rather it looks like a tree. However, we are more adaptable, or at least we should be. Think about it. We can live anywhere. We can live in hotter places, colder places, as well as drier places and wetter places than the sagebrush can. We can also travel anywhere. We can travel on the land, under the land, under the water, or in the sky, and now we've even gone beyond. Our flexibility, our adaptability, our versatility even exceeds the amazing and spectacular sagebrush. And here's one of the reasons why I absolutely love this passage from Genesis 11 and verse 6. Because it is God our Father speaking about our awesome ability to do things. God saw the people of the earth, they're still one, they're still speaking the same language, and they've decided to make this tower that will reach up into heaven so that they will not be scattered abroad. Of course, which was just the opposite of what God had told them to do. He wanted them to scatter all over the earth. So here's what Genesis 11 verse 6 says. And the Lord God said, indeed the people are one, And they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now listen to this part. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Now it makes me wonder, if God had not divided humanity after this into the different languages, how far would we be today? We boast of our American achievements today as of the year 2008 and the things we've been able to do, but we're just one nation. What if it was the entire world all speaking the same language, all working together? What kind of things could we have done then? Perhaps what we're doing now we would have done 3,000 years ago. So we are able to do awesome things, but it has to do with what we propose to do. We have to propose. We have to purpose. We have to set our minds that we can do it. I'm always amazed by the people of the world who do not live by faith, who do not believe that there is a God, some of the things they can do by sheer determination. What about us, who also have determination, but we have faith? Can we not do more marvelous things than what the world has done? And yet, sometimes when it comes to accomplishing spiritual things or obeying the Lord, we just believe that we can't do it. There may be certain passages or commands that we come to in the Bible and we just don't think we can do it. We sound like the 10 spies. Remember, just 2 years after getting out of Egypt and having seen the Lord do the wonderful plagues on Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, and how He's been feeding the people miraculously and providentially in that wilderness for 2 years, obviously God is with them and for them and loves them and wants to give them all kinds of things, and He will keep His promises. Moses sends 12 spies into the land, and 10 of them come back with this report. Hey, the people there are giants. We are not able to conquer this land. In that case, the sagebrush did better than the 10 spies. In that case, the sagebrush was able to do greater things than these men and the rest of Israel who listened to them, who were created in God's image, which you can't say about the sagebrush. How many times do we look at Scripture and we just find reasons why, well, I just don't think that applies to me? Or we look for an excuse, we look for a way to explain ourselves out of it, we look for some kind of rationalization, and don't do it. And in that case, again, we're not acting like we've been made in the image of God. We act like we're lower than the sagebrush. I'd like to encourage you this week to just listen to yourself. Whenever you speak, or just speak to yourself, think to yourself, what am I saying? What am I doing? What does this reflect? Does this reflect my faith or my doubt? And then, on another day or another week, do that again, but this time make a point of removing all doubt, of all hindrances, of all those things that you discovered in that previous day or week, is contrary to God's Word. And say, okay, today, I'm going to be just like Jesus. My language is going to be like His, and watch what happens. Now, as you probably know, Caleb, one of the two spies who did believe they could take the land, he then said this to the people, "Let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we are well able to overcome it." And he went on to explain this because God takes pleasure in us. Look what he has done to deliver us from Egypt. I know, I believe that he can take us across the Jordan into the land of Canaan and help us to conquer these people. That he has the ability to give us that which he has promised. Read Numbers 13 this week. Awesome and powerful chapter, at least from the standpoint of Caleb and Joshua. So what good thing do you need to do in your life? Is there a sin that you're having problem with? A temptation that just every time it comes up, you find yourself giving into it? Don't let the sagebrush outdo you. Look at the adaptability of the sagebrush, and it survives. You can survive also, because you have greater ability to adapt than the spectacular sagebrush. Another important thing that I would like us to learn tonight, some sage advice from the sagebrush, is that it gives glory to its provider. In this case, the earth. In sagebrush country, you can see the land. Is there something interesting out there? Some interesting rock formations? Unusual valleys? Brilliantly colored land and so on? Well, sagebrush doesn't hide it. And in some ways, even helps to preserve it. So in other words, the sagebrush is out there preserving the land, but it's not hiding the land. So it gives glory to its provider, the earth. Whereas a forest hides the earth. Now, forests are beautiful. I'm not speaking against forests. They have their own beauty and their own purposes. But it's not quite as easy to see its provider, the earth, when you go into a forest. Think of Arches National Park. What would it look like if it was covered in redwoods? Somehow its glory would be hidden. So in that case, it's better that there's not these big spectacular and stately trees, but rather a lowly shrub that lets us see the glory of the earth. Well, what about us? Do we want to show the world ourselves or Christ? What is the church all about? And what am I about? Am I trying to bring glory to myself? Or is my purpose to give glory to my provider, who is Christ? Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 these words. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as your servants for bondservants for Jesus' sake. What is interesting about that passage is you notice, first of all, he said, we're not preaching ourselves, we're preaching Jesus as Lord. Now, we do come into the picture, though. And the picture is not that we're the master. We don't want you to look at us. We're hiding behind the cross. At least we're trying to. So we're bondservants. That's how we preach ourselves. We're here to serve. That's what I should be telling my people with whom I work or people in my neighborhood. Not necessarily in those words, but by my actions. I may not even say a word to them. But by the way I live, they say, you know, this person's always trying to do something good for me. Why is that? They may already know, or they may seek to find out. In the chapter before, chapter 3, starting in verse 1, Paul said this, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is, of the heart. So while I may go into Eastern Oregon and see the sagebrush, it's unavoidable. Yet if I continue to look, I suddenly see fanes about the land and all its glory. And in the same way, people read me. It's unavoidable. Although I want Christ to be seen, they still see me. They still hear me. They still have experiences with me. But if they continue, and I continue, if they continue to watch and I continue to live as a bondservant of Christ, eventually they don't see me. They see Him, my provider, the one who gives me my life, and the one whose name I'm seeking to provide or to preserve. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, reminded us of this. Starting in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify not you, but Jesus said, your Father in heaven. So yes, we can be like the redwood. There are ways in which we need to be like the redwood, and I could do a whole series of, a message with lessons about the redwood. But in other ways, we need to be like the sagebrush. The next thing, pollination. How does the sagebrush pollinate? Well, the unappealing sagebrush doesn't really attract birds or insects for pollination, but rather it's the wind. You know, like many plants today, some plants, perhaps like the sagebrush, will use animals or insects and so on, but it relies heavily upon the wind. And interestingly, Jesus used the wind to illustrate the Holy Spirit working in us. He said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. John 3:8. You know, this issue of the Holy Spirit is one on which there's so much controversy. There's so much controversy in the religious world about how the Holy Spirit operates. But here, Jesus gives us a hint that we can't know all that He does or how He does all that He does. He's like the wind. You know, we can't tell where the wind comes from or where it's going. And so we know there's a Spirit, and we know some of what He does, and yet much of the work of the Holy Spirit's a mystery. And yet, if we do follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, we'll be fruitful. Just like the sagebrush using the wind, and it's fruitful. Paul wrote in Galatians 5 about this very thing. In verse 18 he said, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then he went on to say that, you know, if you're being led by the Spirit, you're not going to produce the works of the flesh. But then, in verses 22 and 23, he showed, if you're being led by the Spirit, here's the fruit you'll produce. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then he said, of course, that there's no law against those things. Just produce them like crazy. Be wild in producing the fruit of the Spirit. Kind of like how the sagebrush is. A mature sagebrush will produce about 1 million seeds. And of course, in this image here on the screen, you can see how small they are, as there's some there on a penny. It takes 2.5 million sagebrush seeds to equal 1 pound. So it's small, but it must be effective because it's all over the West. Likewise, we do small things, but we've got the planet covered. You can find Christians in more places than you can find the sagebrush. And much of that, brethren, happens because of small things, small seeds that we plant. In Matthew 10, Jesus said, "And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." Then, in the 25th chapter, he gave us a glimpse of the judgment. And there at the judgment, he said that he's going to say to certain people, "Come, you blessed, and inherit the kingdom. Because when I was sick, you visited me, and when I was naked, you clothed me," and so on. But then their response is going to be, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" It's because we did little things like that little sagebrush seed and we didn't even notice it. Like you wouldn't even notice the seed of the sagebrush on the ground, so we don't hardly notice the things we do. Maybe we just greeted someone. It might be that someone from the neighborhood came through these doors and you said, "Hi, my name is so-and-so. What's yours? You know, we're glad you're here today." You know, I don't think that's all that big of a deal to say those words. But do you have any idea how much that might affect someone's life? Maybe you're in a store and have you ever had someone where they're in line and they have a whole lot of stuff and you have two items. They look back at you and they say, "You go ahead of me." Isn't that the kindest thing? Have you done that to someone before? Maybe you don't even remember. Maybe you were patient with a new checker or a new waitress or a new teller or someone. You forgot about it 60 seconds later, but they didn't. Maybe they did, but God did not forget. Now, every seed of the sagebrush does not produce something, but sometimes it'll lay dormant for years. And finally, it has the right conditions and it sprouts and creates a new plant. We plant seeds in others and we plant seeds in ourselves. And we don't always see it bear fruit. Sometimes it takes a while. We're kind of like the tree in Psalm 92. Starting at verse 12, the Bible says this: "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Well, the sagebrush is like the palm tree of Psalm 92, flourishing when you don't expect it to. And you are like the sagebrush, flourishing when others, and perhaps even yourself, don't expect to be fruitful anymore. So don't give up living and growing until, like the sagebrush, you give up your body to the earth. So can I give you some sage advice as I come to the end of this message tonight? Go to the sagebrush, you fool. Consider its endurance and be wise. Even as the sagebrush stays connected to its provider, the earth, make sure you stay connected to your Heavenly Father through faithful obedience to His Son. We can have the lights on now. So it's important that we make sure that we obey Jesus Christ, that we obey Him under all circumstances, regardless of what we encounter in life, that we're always following our Master. For if we stay connected to Him, will always be fruitful, and our leaf will not wither when the hard times of life come along. And are you at that point where you're kind of withering? You've not been connected to God like you should have been? Can we pray for you tonight? Can we help you to obey the Lord? If so, please come forward now as we stand and sing.